Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I
welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, as we look into the book of Acts. We're in chapter 7, those of you that have been following along. Verse number 33. I just love the book of Acts. It's a very exciting book. It's all about the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, and he's still working today.
You know, there's a lot of action in the book of Acts.
I like that.
All sorts of things happening. There's intrigue. There's mystery. We're in a great sermon right here, a message that Stephen is preaching. So lots of great stuff happening here.
So he's picking it up in verse number 33. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground.
Mm.
You know, that's a scripture that's been used in a lot of places. Yep. In Asia, it's revered. And I just got a picture from one of our missionaries that is in Asia, and they're building a new church plant. And when you first come in, she's got a picture of the foyer, and it's filled with shoes.
Oh.
All the shoes are off.
All the shoes are off.
They're all off.
Yeah.
I mean, hundreds of shoes.
Yeah. How do you find them after service? Well,
take,
I guess
take
you would
the
know.
Better, take the better pair.
Take the better pair.
No, they find their own shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
But this particular scripture, they actually take your shoes off because it's holy ground.
Wow.
And I think in the old Indian, a lot of times in India, you get on a platform in India, you got to take your shoes off.
Really?
Yeah, because it's holy ground. You can't go up there with shoes on.
It's an amazing thing to think that God is just saying, I want your bare feet. I want your skin to touch the dirt that's holy. I want to connect with you, not through a piece of leather, not through anything man-made, but I made you. And I made the earth, and I just want to connect with you. Maybe that's what he's saying there, just that connection piece.
It's possible. I'm assuming that they're probably cleanliness is close to godliness, and there's some stuff that you carry on your shoes when you're walking around, especially when you're in Asia. In Asia, you can do anything on the sidewalks or in the streets.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you don't have bathrooms in McDonald's because, you know, so whatever you want to do, you do it. And so you end up walking, so your shoes are definitely not
clean.
You're
touching things that are unclean. Yep.
Yeah, so they take them off. So, so that's what they're doing. And here he says, he's just telling them that this is a place that's holy. And he says, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groanings and have come down to set them free. Now come, I'll send you back to Egypt.
That's just what he wanted to hear. You know, it had been about 4 decades. He was 4 decades in Egypt, and then he ran because he murdered somebody, and he got found out. And so 4 decades he's been outside of Egypt, away from Egypt.
He's wanted to go back.
Now, that's the last thing on his mind. He's forgotten about Egypt. He's married. He's got kids. He's got a family. He's shepherding. He's doing what he needs to do. And then all of a sudden, he sees a burning bush, and God says, hey, guess what? You're taking a road trip.
Yeah, well, remember, he was adopted. His brother was a Pharaoh. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of like an adopted son of the Pharaohs.
Yep.
And so he's got some relations back there that he can call upon, I'm assuming.
Exactly, yeah.
God's going to use everything in our lives. And so here, that's what's happening. And so this is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge?
Ouch.
Ouch, 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 ouch.
You know, that's so many times... You know, you kind of go back. Even when you're doing God's work, there's always going to be somebody that, you know,
yes,
that says
exactly.
Something.
Somebody always will throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing.
There you go.
Now, I don't know where the concept of throwing a monkey wrench comes from.
Yeah.
But anyway, it monkeys things up.
It monkeys things up.
And so here, this is the same Moses he's talking about that were rejected by the people who made you ruler and king. He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself, though the angel who appeared to them appeared to him in a bush. So here he is. He's sent by God. God's telling him to do this, and people are rejecting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happens the same thing today.
Happens. Yeah. Nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. So. I don't really believe that God sent you because, you know, why can't God speak through me just like he speaks through Moses?
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Listen, you're sitting at home and you're listening to this and you haven't been in church in a long time, basically because you were hurt by somebody. Somebody said something to you and you said, I don't need church anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have to be around those preachers and those people who are hypocrites. Let me tell you something. Your life is not that great either.
No.
So you might as well just buckle up, Suck it up.
Join the crowd.
Join the crowd and come to church.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We're jars of clay. None of us are perfect.
That's
it. We all, you know, we're hard-pressed. We're persecuted. We all deal with issues in our life. And not every preacher is going to get up there and say the perfect thing all the time. It's not going to happen.
No,
you know, it's
won't.
Not going to happen. But we're all in this together, and we need to work together.
Yeah.
To see God's acts work through us through the Holy Spirit.
And that's what's happening here. God has chosen to work through Moses to set the people free.
Mm-hmm.
He led them out of Egypt, and he did wonders and miracles, signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the desert. So here is a leader, and most of Israel, I think, recognized that Moses was
right.
a great prophet.
They did.
They recognized the fact. They even looked to him. And you see, when Jesus did things, often he did things that mimicked what happened to Moses.
Right.
Almost the exact same things that Moses did, Jesus did, and even greater things than that. So he mimicked them so that they would see the similarities that God had called Moses, and God certainly has sent him also.
Yeah, you know, and Moses' life was kind of geared around 40 years. Like I said, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and now 40 years, you know, dealing with the nation of Israel, bringing them into the land of Canaan. What should have taken a short period of time, it took 40 years for them to get out of Egypt and up into the land of Canaan. So there's three incredible periods of time in Moses' life, and each one of us probably goes through some of those moments as well. Maybe, hopefully not as long, but we all deal with some of these issues.
That's true. I mean, we'd have to live 120 years to make that work.
Exactly.
And how many of us are doing that? So the problem, like you mentioned, is the fact that it could have been a short season when they went from the wilderness into the promised land. That could have been really short.
Right. A few weeks.
Yeah, but they didn't want to listen to Moses.
No.
And so the whole generation is lost.
All right.
And sometimes that's what it takes, another generation to come up. And I hate that, but that's just sometimes the way
it is.
That's really the truth. This same Moses that whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He's been sent to be their ruler, delivered by God himself, though an angel appeared to him in the bush, and he led them out of Egypt, and he did wonders and miracle signs in Egypt at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the desert. So he's still doing miracles, and they're still not listening.
No, it's sad.
This is Moses who told the Israelites, "God will send you a prophet like me from your own people." So Stephen is setting the sign that he says that there's somebody going to be coming like Moses. He's going to be a prophet. I'm going to send him again to you. Will you receive him this time, you think?
Yeah.
I think he's saying here that the people didn't receive Moses,
you know, it's,
and they're not going to receive Jesus either.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen starts this amazing historical lesson to these people, and these people know this.
He's
talking to the Israelite priests and teachers of the law and rulers, so they know all of this stuff. But then he brings it right back, and he points it back to Jesus. The Old Testament points to Jesus. Much of the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus, and right here, Stephen brings it back. They're on the other side of Jesus now, and so now they're just looking in the rearview mirror. They're looking back, and he says, "Remember Abraham, remember Isaac, remember Jacob, remember Moses." He said, all of those guys were pointing to another one who was to come, and guess what? He's come. He's come, and you guys missed him.
Yeah, and he was prophesied that he was going to come, but you still missed him.
Missed him.
It happens to people today, too. They miss Jesus because they get wound up with all kinds of things, and they don't really take a look at the scriptures for the truth that's found within them.
No.
So, and then they miss them. They just absolutely miss them. And so, but our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and their hearts turned back to Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, how did you want to go back to slavery?
Why would you want to go back to being in bondage and eating onions and leeks and garlic, all the stinky foods? I mean, they're delicious if cooked right, but you know what? They were in bondage. They were enslaved, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy, but they're looking back, oh, those were the good old days back then. But it's like, you know, it wasn't that easy, and it wasn't that good.
I'm wondering if maybe perhaps our forefathers had some understanding of Israel turning back to Egypt, wanting to turn back, that this was in their hearts. When you study the early history, when they say, "Give me liberty or give me death."
Mm.
You know, give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to that
No.
Slavery.
I don't know anybody who would choose rather to go back to prison or any kind of slavery. It just doesn't make any common sense to me.
Make common sense, yeah. But a lot of people just love this feeling.
Yeah.
I remember watching a movie. I think it was one of those Back to the Future movies where Michael J. Fox goes back into the past and he sees his uncle in a crib.
Yeah.
And he's shaking the crib, and they say when they take him out of the crib, he starts crying. He wants to get back in the crib.
He loves it in there.
And Michael J. Fox says, that explains a lot why Joey's in jail.
You better get used to those bars, Uncle Joey.
Yeah, that's the same concept. So, he just liked being locked up, I guess.
He loved that feeling. It was a comfort to him. And you know what? There are people who find it comforting.
Yeah.
The hardest part, I think... is to make that choice to change.
Well, that's tough, isn't it?
And there's a phrase, and until the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of change, you'll never change.
You won't.
And so if you're comfortable in your circumstances, even if it is
painful.
Not the greatest life and it's painful, until you're willing to go through the pain of change, you'll never change.
No. And I think there's so much truth to that it crosses cultures. It crosses everyone. It's just a human instinct, I think, we have. We like the pain we have rather than going through a change that we don't know what it's going to be like.
Exactly.
Yeah. So make us gods who will go before us. Make us gods who will go before us, they told Aaron. In other words, here Stephen is telling them, look, they're going into idolatry.
Right.
And as for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. In other words, this guy's really gone off the rails.
Yeah. You know, he's up the mountain. God's talking to them. They see the cloud. They hear the thunder. They don't know what's happened to this guy. And so they look to Aaron, who's his brother, and they say, okay, help us out. We're thinking back to Egypt. We want to get back. And so make us a god like we served in Egypt.
Same idea.
Yeah.
And so that was the time that they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and held a celebration in honor of what their hands had made, had made. So they're celebrating what they have done. How many people do that?
Yeah.
Celebrate what they have done, not what God has done.
No, and once again, I think that's so true, is it's all about humanity stepping up to the plate and, we're going to solve the world's problems. We're going to be able to fix it with our own hands, with our own minds, and we're going to be able to do what needs to be done. Yeah, that's not going to work.
It doesn't seem to be working.
No.
But God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever really looked at that.
Yeah.
They started worshiping the sky, the stars, and everything, and all these heavenly bodies, astrologers, if you will. And they started worshiping these things that God created.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
It's, once again, they were experiencing God. They saw the thunder, the lightning, the clouds. The glory of God was right there within their visible sight. And yet their hearts went back to Egypt. And God said, you know what? If that's where you want to go, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, it's amazing because it says God turned away and just gave them over to the worship of heavenly bodies.
Yeah.
And so they began to do horoscopes according to the signs in the sky and the different planets and so forth. And so now they're worshiping all these things that are part of the creation, not the creator.
Right.
And this agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of Molech. And the star of your god, Rephim, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I'll send you into exile beyond Babylon.
Yeah. I read the Old Testament. I read this snippet of prophecy here, which you can go back and read the Old Testament historical books and the prophetic books, and you can find where the nation of Israel
constantly kept
turning away from God when God was right in their midst.
Yeah,
he dwelled in the tabernacle, and they lived around the tabernacle and His glory. He filled the temple when they built the temple, and He dwelt there, and yet they still kept going back to worshiping creation rather than the creator or the stars and the moon. All those things were created. And he said, I don't know what more I can do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just exile you. I'm going to let you get away and do your own thing and think about what you've done. Sometimes we need to have a little time out to think about what we've done.
Yeah, they constantly backtracked, and God sent them prophets to speak to them, and first tried to use kings and prophets, and then finally he sends his son to get him back. But here, Stephen is saying, look at even, he's going to say, even the son that was sent to you, you didn't receive him either. And so you constantly, you have this thing that you turn back to, and here the worship of Moloch, which was a sacrifice of children to these in fire. And so, I mean, it's just horrendous. How far man falls.
It is. It's painful to see.
And our forefathers had the tabernacle of the testimony with them in the desert. It had been made as God directed by Moses according to the patterns he has seen. So he's painting this picture of how God worked with these people forever.
Just constantly. The relationship that they had with God.
Yeah. Yeah. A great relationship.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations and God drove out before them. So all this history, all this carrying in providing what God had told them to do. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. So, you know, this is a history lesson,
right.
Like you say, and he's saying, bringing it all the way through to David. And then finally, the great Solomon who built this temple, and even the temple that Solomon built, probably it was beautiful and it was wonderful. But Herod, who was really an architect and a builder, he built a huge temple for them too.
Yeah.
So for them, this temple was everything.
The temple was the center of their worship. It was it epitomized everything that they held on to.
But he says, however, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord?
Yeah.
Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? So coming back to God being the creator.
Yeah.
Comes right back to it. It's a whole story about how man is trying to make things himself, like you mentioned, and yet God is the one who created everything, and they're not recognizing God. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, to be able to have lived in where the presence of God was, and then to constantly put yourself in the place of God, man, it just boggles my mind.
It does boggle my mind. Try not to do that yourself. Try to understand that God has put in the church his... It is his place. Yep. God lives in the church. He's put in prophets, these apostles. He put in teachers and pastors and evangelists for a purpose, to help you to become closer to God. This is Pastor Adam and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned to next week, because we're going to call you stiff-necked people next week.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.